what is it? Love and marriage go together, horse and carriage, something like that. Love. It's something that's always around in all of our music and everything that is in our culture. And we're looking for love. Sometimes we're looking in all the wrong places. You know, so all these songs, I mean, love, 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 and all you need is love. And I've found that that's not true because you got to eat and all kinds. Anyway, but we've got love, and we have an idea of love being really an emotional kind of thing. In fact, what's love got to do with it? It's just a second rate, right? But it's an emotional kind of experience for us. And indeed, there is a great deal of emotion involved with love. But love at its real base and foundation, when it all comes down to it, is really about a choice, and it is about action. It is about what you do and what you say and how you respond to someone. It's not just gushy all the time. And when we get married, you know, we figure out that the other person has some interesting habits at times. Habits. Interesting things. There's like one guy and a gal, they decided to get married, and he was very, very concerned about the wedding night because he hadn't told her yet, but he had really skanky, stinky feet, really, really bad, awful foot odor. And so this guy's was bad. And so he's like, wow, I don't know how to tell her this, but she's going to figure it out. I'm just going to have to blurt it out. Well, little did he know, she was having the same kind of angst about everything because she had been able to cover it up to this point, but she had very, very bad breath, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious halitosis, kind of, I mean, bad, nasty breath. And so there they are, the wedding night, the bed, the whole thing. I won't go into that. But he turns to her and he says, honey, I have a confession to make about myself. And she turns and she looks him in the eye. She says, oh, honey, I have a confession to make too. And he said, don't tell me you like to chew on socks. It'll take some of y'all a minute to get that one. It's just subtle. It's kind of subtle, you know. That's disgusting. Thank you. But we find out what somebody's really like. And if we love them, we're not gushy about their bad habits or their annoying, things that they do. But we still love them. Why? We choose to do so. And we act in love toward someone. And when God came to earth and God's Son came to earth, it's an act of love. It was an act of love toward us. And we've got these two people involved in this story, Mary, Joseph. And we look at how the story kind of came to be. And we don't really think of love in the sense that we really do now. But these two people really loved one another. What would happen, and it's important to kind of gather this in the story. We're going to be in it, and it's in your program if you want to follow along with us in John, the first chapter today. Here's how it worked. When a person was married to another person in that time and in that culture and in the religious culture that they had going on, they would go through a process and multiple ceremonies. So what you would do is the man would go to the dad of the one that he wanted to pick out and wanted to choose, and he would say, I would like to marry your daughter. Now, people don't understand, the girl actually did have the option to put the reject on that. Now, if you reject too many guys, you know, maybe you won't get offered again, but this kind of this process of they go to the dad. And then the dad and the husband, or the future husband, they work out, and it's called a ketubah. It's a contract. It's like a dowry. It's like, this is the money that I have set aside for this purpose. This is the money that I'm going to give you so that, it's kind of morbid, but if I kick the bucket and she has to come back to you, you'll have a little bit stock, you know, stashed away so that you can manage things. So they've got this little process going. Now, the guy is probably, well, he's in his 20s. A lot of times your early 20s, sometimes even on up into your late 20s to 30, you might still not be married because you had to prove a trade. And then you've got to have this contract. You've got to have this dowry kind of stashed away so that you can do it. So you gather up and you save to this point. Now, you need to understand, and this is really important, this will change how you view the Bible completely if you pay attention to this. It's a very simple thing. Marriage in the Bible was not about the bride. Marriage in that culture was all about the groom. It was all about, there was no yes to the dress. There was no, let's get my dress on this one. You know, no planning your wedding since you were in third grade and how you're going to look and all that kind of thing. So it wasn't that. It was all about the groom. What's your job going to be? Do you have enough for this ketubah contract thing going on? When are you going to build your home for your family? It's all about him getting his responsibilities and everything in order so that he can take in a bride. And the focus in the culture was all, the pressure was all on the guy, but it was focused on him. So you've got to flip your mind from America to understand what's going on with it. So he makes this contract, and then the contract is binding. Listen, once the ketubah is done, the contract is signed, they are betrothed, but they are married, okay? They are married. You would have to get a divorce to undo this. It is binding. She's accepted it. And then what he does is he takes on a period of time. It could be a year. It could be years, depending on the situation or the age of the person or whatever it might be. But he would take this, and usually he would start building a home. And homes back then, you would kind of do an addition onto the family compound, which is why, this is not part of this sermon, but which is why Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem, even though he lived in Nazareth, because he owned part of the family estate here. He had responsibilities to pay taxes and do his part for the family, all right? So anyway, but he would start to build onto the family compound. And if you'll pay attention in Scripture, it's all through all different kinds of things that Jesus says. What does he say? In my house, there are many rooms. I go to do what? Prepare a place for you so that you can also be in my house. Groom, bride, this kind of thing. He goes and he prepares this. And then what happens is he and all his buddies, when it's all done and they've got it decorated and Chip and Joanna have had their input and they've all got it all set and they're ready to go. He gathers all his buddies and they kind of have a bachelor party, but not that kind of bachelor party. And then they just kind of hang out and they look and they say, hey man, that's pretty cool. I like the angle on this, whatever. And then they get ready, and they kind of give a hint to the girls that this might be happening. But if the girls aren't ready, it kind of looks bad. So they kind of give a hint to that. And again, there's a story about 10 virgins or 10 future brides, and they weren't ready. They didn't have the oil in their lamp. And sometimes they'll come and do it in the middle of the night or whatever. That just all these guys, they would come, and it is a big thing. All the guys come in, and he gets his bride. He takes his bride. And then they go, and then there's this thing called the kupa, C-H-U-P-P-A-H, kupa. And this is creepy, guys, but this is how they did it. And so they would all gather together. The family all gathers together. They've all got this thing, and then he takes his bride into the tent and yoo-hoo, and it kupa. And then they come out of that, they're all cleaned up or whatever they do, and then they're like, they have a big feast, a big celebration. Woo-ha! It's all a big thing. And you might see in the book of the Revelation that we just finished, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that kind of, that's what we're talking about here. He's gotten the groom, Jesus, has come and gotten his bride, the church, and it has brought us to him. And so this imagery is all through here, this ketubah, kupa, all this kind of stuff. You'll see it throughout Scripture. And right here, that's what's going on as well. Let's look here, and now that you have that kind of in your head, you can get kind of the idea of what's going on here. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's what Yeshua, Jesus, means. God saves you. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through a prophet. Isaiah, it's 9, chapter 9. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they would call him Emmanuel," which means God with us, which is our series this Christmas. "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Now, this is not part of our sermon, but it says, he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. He did consummate the marriage later. In fact, they had more kids, so it's in the Bible. They have a bunch of kids. So you'll hear, she was a virgin forever and ever. Not true. Joseph, they had kids. All right? Good for you, Joseph. Way to go. But here he is. He's got this situation going on, and he's signed the contract. And just imagine how it is. And we don't think, oh, it's kind of romantic. But there's kind of some funky little play going on with this whole thing. Hey, Mom, what do you think of Joseph? You know, if you want to get something done, you tell the mom, right? And then she goes and says, "Hey, Joseph Senior, how about this Mary girl? She's kind of cute, and she seems to have a good. Now she's going to be young. She's going to be 13 to 15. Again, kind of creepy, but it's the way it was. And then he would be in his early 20s or late 20s. We don't know how. Joseph died before Jesus began his ministry at about 30. So he died before he was 50, basically. So, but we don't know how old he was when this happened. So we've got the betrothal. All these things happened, and they're kind of this play. And then they make the contract, and she's so excited, and they do a whole little ceremony where he offers her the cup, and they drink a little cup. It's almost like a communion type thing, and they do this whole thing together, and it's done. It's like that's the marriage kiss, or what, you can kiss your bride type deal, you can kiss your fiance kind of moment for this. So they're doing all this stuff, and then he finds out, maybe she goes and she tells him, "Hey, you know, I had an angel appear to me." Oh, what? That's so cool, Mary. Tripping. Yeah, and he said that he had something for me to do, and it was going to be awesome, and that we're going to, like, be the parents of the Messiah. What? No way, Mary. Are you kidding me? That's total pressure. Perfect kid. But that's kind of cool. We're going to have a perfect kid. Maybe he'll just, like, you know, train the other. You know, you got all this stuff going on in your head. And, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant with him now. What? So now, I mean, just imagine if this is happening to you both. I mean, the guy, you're like, seriously, dude, you ruined it. But the girl is like, she gets this angel comes to her and says, I'm going to do this to you. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to become pregnant. And she says, let it be to me as you say. But she understands in her mind, she's got to have 1,020,000 questions, right? How's Joseph going to react to this? What's my mother and father going to say? Am I going to be rejected? What's going to happen with all that? And in the confusion of things, and in the disturbance of all this, they kind of got to figure it out. She's pregnant. She lets her parents know. She's excited, but she's not. She's whatever. She's got mixed emotions about all this. And so there's like, we need a little time out. So they send her to her cousin, Elizabeth, who is old, the mom of John the Baptist. She's pregnant with John the Baptist, but she's very old, which is a miraculous thing, too. And when she goes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth receives her, and the moment she sees her, she's overwhelmed, and John the Baptist jumps in her belly and funky stuff like that. But she receives this encouragement. Imagine God asking you to do something like this, to be pregnant before you're married, and then to have to tell somebody, no, I haven't done a deed. This is from God. And how unbelievable that sounds. I mean, if your daughter came in, you really, come on. Where is he? I've got a shotgun for that. Or imagine if you're Joseph. Are you going to believe that program? I thought she was pretty straight up. Everything that I thought about this whole thing, you've got it planned. We have it all planned ahead of time before we get married, right? And then it's never like it we planned. But, I mean, we had a plan, and now it's all messed up. So she goes for a few months. And in the meantime, this Joseph experiences this dream where the angel of God also comes to him and says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And he responds just as Mary did. Okay, I'll do that. I will obey. Love did that. Love didn't get all gushy. And they started out, that's a rough start, guys. You know it? That's a really rough start. I mean, there was no honeymoon phase for these people. This is a rough way to begin things. But as they begin, and it's really, and I can't identify with a pregnant girl that much, so I kind of am on the Joseph side, so sorry, gals, I'm not really helping you with it, but you can imagine some of these things. But I'm just imagining from Joseph's side, he's discovering all these things, and he's hearing all these things, and by accepting her, he is basically in the culture saying, all right, I did it, I admit it, but he didn't, and so there's all these things going on. But the bottom line for both of them was this. I love this gal. I love this guy. More importantly, though, this is why God picked them. I love my Lord, and I will obey him, even if it sounds pretty much crazy. And they did exactly as God asked them to do. Now, let's think about how God came to us. We're talking about God's Son. We're talking about the God of the universe that created everything. And Jesus, we talked about this. Jesus was there the whole time. It's not like Jesus just showed up. Now, Jesus was there. Jesus was there when the law was written. He was there when the world was created. He had been there. He was there. He is there. And He has a love for humanity, a love for people, a love for us that compels him to put away all of his privileges and come to us as a human. He has to come as a human. God couldn't send an angel. It's not a human. God couldn't send another human that had been born on earth because we all screw up and we all sin. How are we going to pay a price for our own sins when we're sinful ourselves? God had to come And he had to send himself, part of himself, his own DNA, if you will, had to come to earth. And so he sends his son. And Jesus willingly comes, knowing he's going to die a death on the cross. He's going to live an entire life. And I think the death on the cross thing would be enough for me. But how about if you were told today, hey, I'm 40-something, and I were told today, all right, you got to go back and be a baby again. And you've got to relearn just like everything like a human does. And somebody's going to have to wipe your booty in. I mean, just think about it. Just start. It sounds kind of neat. Now, I'd like to go back and be like in third or fourth grade again. No bills and no responsibilities, and you have a Christmas list, and you ask for gifts, and you get them. I think it's an awesome time of life, but now I'm an adult. And going back, that's what Jesus gave up. He said, I will just give it up, and I will live with these people, and I will be killed by these people. Yes, I'll rise again from the dead, and then I will take my place. But think about what he had to do. And I'm pretty sure that when Jesus, or when the Father, when the Spirit, they made this decision, which was made long ago, but when it actually came time to do it, and the time was ripe, and the time was right to do this, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't a Father, Son looking down on humanity and going, oh, I just love them so much. Unicorns and teddy bears. I mean, I think it was, this is going to be tough, but this is how much I love them. So I'm going to choose to act in love for what they need, not for what it gives to me. I want to know them. I want to live with them. I want to give them something. That's what real love is about. Now, this is not a marriage sermon, but that's what love in marriage is really about. It's not about mushy-gushy. Although, guys, do a little romance. Come on, it's not that hard. But it's not mushy-gushy. It's about everyday action, being there, being present, being part of everything, being in the mix, doing what is needed to do, doing it with a heart of kindness and with a passion, with a fire, all that kind of stuff. But it's not gushy-mushy, right? Real love, it's kind of messy and dirty, and that's what Mary and Joseph had. And that's what Jesus did for us. Messy. Born basically in the barn, in the animal area, laid in an animal feeding trough for his crib. Even I had a better crib than that, man, and I was born in Mountain Home, Arkansas. I mean, I had a nice place. But this is what he did. Not because of mushy-gushy feelings, because of love. True, genuine love. That's how much he would do anything, whatever it took, so that you and I could be with him, so that you and I could know him, even when we rejected him, even when we haven't done what he's wanted us to do. He has done everything for us. And that's what's cool about Christianity. And we talk about this a lot. Religion will ask you to do this. And that's how it's spelled, D-O. But real Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's not what we earn. It's not how we get. It's that we receive what Jesus has already done for us. It's God coming to us. God with us. Not us getting to God because we can't get there. And here's what I want to ask for the day. It's a simple question. Thinking about how Jesus came to us. Thinking about the kind of love that requires, that kind of action, or that kind of acting. What if God asks you to do something that's crazy, that's kind of nutty, that kind of doesn't make sense to you, that's kind of like, I mean, nutty like, hey, Mary, you're going to have my kid and, you know, you're a virgin. That's pretty nutty. Or how about, hey, Joseph, your future wife, she really is a virgin still. And now, but she's pregnant. Take her on as your wife. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. It's a crazy thing. What if God asked you to do something well beyond your comfort zone, well beyond what you really understand, well beyond what you really are thinking would be normal or logical or anything like that? What if God asked you to do, like he asked Mary, and like he asked you, well, yeah, but I mean, come on. These people are having the Son of God. I mean, they're having the Messiah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's cool to you and me. But when Mary heard the news and Joseph heard the news to begin with, I'm sure it was cool but not so cool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a lot to ask of somebody. That's a lot of social pressure to deal with. That's a lot of family Thanksgiving issues to have to go through and put the fun back in dysfunctional for this whole thing, right? You're asking me to do something pretty nutty in my mind. What if God asked you to do something because he knew that he wanted to do something awesome in the world through you? How do you respond? You respond with, well, there's some issues, Lord. That's what I would have done. I mean, Mary gets this, and her response is, let it be to me as you've said. Now, she does have, you know, the captain of all the angels kind of talking to her. It's a little bit of a freaky deal, but she could have turned that down. If I'm Joseph, I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but I have some questions. That's just me. You know, I've got some questions of how we're going to deal with this. I mean, I see problems before problems happen. You know, well, we got it. And I'm walking through those things. I would have that kind of thing. But what did he do? He didn't make a big thing. He was going to divorce her. First of all, he was going to do it quietly, which he didn't have to do. He could have humiliated her. Instead, he still loved her. He said, listen, I'm going to just put her away. But then he gets this dream. And what does he do? It doesn't tell us. It doesn't say he went to her dad and said, hey, I had a dream. It's cool. All it says is Joseph took her as his wife. He took her into his home. No questions. No big thing. No big hoopla. He just did what he was asked to do. And really, guys, that's what it's all about when it comes down to it. Will you do what God asks you to do? Will you do, if you're reading the scriptures, what the Bible tells you to do? What if God asked you to do something that wasn't within your comfort area, isn't within your line of thinking right now? How will you respond? Bunch of questions, bunch of issues, or do you do like Mary? Let it be to me, as you said. Whatever you say, Lord, I mean, I saw what you did for me. You came, and you loved me that much. Whatever you ask, I trust you. Or you be like Joseph, not a big talker, not a man of many words, just a man of action. Okay, I'll do it. And he goes, and he actually does it. May we be people like that, that when God says in his word, do this, don't do this, that we don't have our street smarts on and say, well, yeah, but the culture is like this, but yeah, the family's like this, but yeah, the world is like this, but yeah, I've got stuff to to deal with in that, and maybe you do. But the bottom line is, will you do what God asks you to do? You know what success is? That's it. Oh, success in life, obeying God, and it's that simple. Whatever he asks. But the question is, what kind of heart do you have in response? So let's do this. Let's pray. And I'm going to let you talk to God. I don't know how you respond. I have ESPN, but I don't have anything else. I don't know how you respond. The real question is, do you have a heart that's open or closed to God? If he asks you, and he will, and he does, are you open or questioning? Are you open or are you skeptical? Are you open or are you disbelieving? Are you open or are you closed? Are you trusting or not? And guys, it's black and white. Do you trust God or don't you? Do you trust God or you have a bunch of yeah buts? Yeah, but Lord, yeah, but Lord. So let's do this. I'm going to take just a moment here. And I'm going to actually be quiet. This is a little different, so hang in there. Everybody just be quiet and be respectful of other people. And I'm going to let you talk to God right now. And you deal with him however he's speaking to you. I'm just one of these crazy people that thinks God can talk to you and not have to have somebody else tell you everything. So I'm going to be quiet for just a few moments. There may be a kid or two stirring. Don't worry about them. You and God talk together. We're just going to do this for a few seconds, quietly. I'm even going to shut up, and we're going to pray. We're going to talk to God, and then I'll pray, and then we'll close for the day, all right? In the quiet of this moment, you and the Lord together, okay? Lord, as you ask, we want to open our hearts to you. We want to open ourselves to you. And just as Mary and Joseph did, they acted, and they did what you asked. In response to your love for us, we want to love you back. We love you by saying, Lord, we don't just say, I love you, gushy. But Lord, we want to obey you. We want to trust you. We want to believe you. So help our lack of faith and help our lack of trust and help our lack of belief today. But here today, as a people, we want to say yes. Before we even know what you ask, we want to say yes because we trust you. Lord, we want to say yes because you have something that you want to do through us in the world that will change it. That will change our little corner of it, maybe. We'll change the entire space. We want to be open to you for you to use as you see fit, for you to do whatever you want to do through us in this world. May it be to us as you say. And we don't speak much. We just commit ourselves right now to doing your will in this place. For your honor and your glory as living sacrifices to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, invite somebody to be with us next week. What a great day this is, has been. What a great Christmas season we're having. God bless you big time. Go give them heaven.